Your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back, 6:34. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Hoge. Thank you for joining us. The Higgs boson particle, some call it the God particle, and dramatic new data released yesterday points to the fact that it does exist. To explain what exactly scientists are talking about, I'm joined by Wade Fisher, an assistant professor of physics and astronomy at Michigan State University. He's been actively involved in the search for the Higgs boson particle himself. Wade, thanks for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Tell me, how long have you been researching Higgs boson yourself?
Well, I started on this search back in the year 2000, and so I've been active on this since then, and it's been, you know, really one of the greatest adventures of my life.
So let's first try to understand what we're talking about. We all know that matter is made out of atoms. There are protons, neutrons, electrons. So how does this Higgs boson particle fit into the picture?
Well, what we have done throughout the years is we've put together a picture of what is what we believe the most fundamental aspects of the universe, both from the concept of the matter particles, but also how they interact with each other. And with this model that we have is we call the standard model of particle physics. Now, this model, which was actually first really put together properly in 1967, requires the presence of something to explain mass for particles. Without a mechanism to do this, it really breaks down, and we find ourselves with a theory of everything that just doesn't work. You know, it's basically something you would crumple up and throw in the trash because it just doesn't give you what you need to do to predict what happens in the universe. So what this missing piece that we think that needs to be there is what we call the Higgs boson or the Higgs mechanism that allows matter to have mass. So the idea here is that there is a particle that really is an excitation of a quantum field that fills the universe. And that quantum field, whenever it's excited, that represents a Higgs boson. Now, if this Higgs boson were to exist, then it would really confirm that the theories we've put together have, you know, a really good grounding in reality. And that tells us, you know, what the next steps would be to really take our field into the future.
So now you say Higgs boson is a quantum field. Is it something that is out there in the universe, or is it part of every piece of matter?
The idea is that the Higgs field, it fills the entire universe. There's no place in the universe that the Higgs field doesn't penetrate. And all of the matter in the universe is moving through this. You can imagine that that the Higgs field represents the water in a big swimming pool. Now, if you were walking through a swimming pool without water in it, you'd be able to move around pretty easily, right? So you'd be able to walk from one side to the other and not notice anything. Now, put that water back in, and this is representing the Higgs field. It's going to take you a little more effort to walk from one side of the swimming pool to the other. And that's the concept that we have with the Higgs field, is that as particles move through the Higgs field, it slows them down.
So is it Higgs boson? Are these actual particles then that we think exist everywhere?
Absolutely, yeah. And when we do our research, we're basically colliding protons and antiprotons, or protons and protons, depending on where you're doing your research, at high enough energies so that we think we can actually be making these Higgs bosons over and over and over again. And the reason that we have to crank up the energy in these particle collisions is that the Higgs boson is heavy enough so that it doesn't exist as an actual particle in our everyday life. So what you can imagine is that you know, where we are in the universe now represents an ice cube. You know, we can describe that ice cube. It's cold. It just kind of sits there until it melts. But if you were to turn up the energy, turn up the heat, that ice cube would change. It would turn into water and eventually into steam. So the properties of that water are very different from where they are today, which is the frozen state, versus in the history where it might have been much hotter towards the early universe. So what we try to do is we reproduce that early universe where it was much, much hotter. In order to get to a state where it's much, much hotter, we have to put energy into it. And then when we start to do that, then we can be shaking out these Higgs bosons from the Higgs field and start to study them.
Tell me, I'm talking to Wade Fisher, an assistant professor of physics and astronomy at MSC. We're talking about this Higgs boson particle. So what is it that was not clear, or what is it that didn't make sense when it came to physics and so on before the Higgs boson was introduced into the mix? But, you know, when we were looking at that, matter is just a matter of atoms and protons, neutrons, and electrons, and so on.
Well, we had a mathematical theory that allowed us to predict that the particles in the universe that we knew about should be there. So we sort of separate ourselves into the empirical, which is being able to look at the universe and understand, okay, we see what's out there, versus the theory side where we actually put together a tool that allows us to predict things. Now, that tool, without a means to explain mass generation, it just didn't work. You know, we sat down and we tried to make everything come together mathematically, but there was just absolutely no way to make this go without the Higgs boson in there to actually give it that technique in the mathematical theory to work.
See. Now, yesterday, are they confirming that they have actually been able to identify and confirm the existence of Higgs boson?
Now, here's where it gets tricky. So what has been announced is that there is something in the data that's been collected at the Large Hadron Collider at CERN that absolutely cannot be explained without something new. Now, the question of whether this really is a Higgs boson or not is still open. All signs point to yes, because they were searching in a very dedicated way for a Higgs boson. But until we really understand the properties of this new thing, we don't really know what kind of beast it is until, you know, it's really been caged and studied.
Other than expanding our understanding of physics and so on, what is the relevance, I guess, to the rest of us of knowing that this field may exist?
Well, one way that that we've described this in different settings is, imagine that you have a bag of corn, and you might say to yourself, you know, this is the time of year when we're very hungry, we're going to eat all of this corn, but then, you know, a few months later, you're out of corn. What's happening here is that we're putting money and energy into scientific research, which represents planting half of that corn, and now giving ourselves the opportunity in the future to reap the rewards of having, you know, put in a lot of effort into understanding what the next step is.
Sure. And what I'm asking you, I guess, if you have any sense of it, what could be done if we know these particles are out there and they're these subatomic particles? What could we potentially do with that knowledge and in terms of technology and so on?
Oh, well, the first thing that the scientists will be doing is measuring the particle properties, which will start to tell us more about the theory that's really behind all of this. You know, we can write down a mathematical theory and pat ourselves on the back that it works pretty well, but that doesn't mean that it's the truth. So now what we need to do is start twisting and turning this thing and making sure that it really does behave the way that we expect it and make sure that there's not something new out there. So that will tell us how to evolve our vision of how the universe works. Now, as far as technology goes, that's something that's very difficult to predict. You know, even when you sit down and think about the semiconductors and the circuits in your cell phone, that's technology that was originally really pushed out in, you know, several decades ago, you know, 60 years going into the past, where it really takes someone to sit down and look at this new theory and how it actually tells us how to interact with the world to be a, you know, an entrepreneur and turn that into something new. Go ahead, sorry.
Why has it been so hard to identify this particle? Is it just so incredibly small?
Well, it's not so much that they're small, but two things. One is that they're very heavy. They're roughly, you know, 125 times heavier than a proton. So in order to produce one of these, you have to have an enormous amount of energy put into it. And we just haven't been able to build the particle accelerators to produce this until now. The other thing is that the theory doesn't tell us much about the particle. So until we actually went out and searched for it and found it, we didn't know much about it other than, you know, it should be there. We didn't know its mass or its properties. And that's something that, you know, you're basically searching under, you know, in the parking lot for your car. You know it's out there somewhere. It's just a matter of, you know, time looking around to see where it might actually be.
I see. So it has a lot of weight to it, essentially, very heavy. I mean, does it somehow get involved in gravitational pulls, things like that?
Now, that's actually something that we don't anticipate with the Higgs boson. It won't explain gravity for us, and that's one of the major things that's missing in our models, is that we don't have a really good way of explaining how gravity fits in with the rest of the quantum universe as we understand it.
Is this the kind of information that will change our understanding of the universe and our world dramatically then?
If we had not found a Higgs boson, we would be throwing away all of the physics textbooks that people like me have used to learn physics for the last 40 years. It would be something completely revolutionary. After finding something that we really think probably is the Higgs boson, this is really the culmination of, you know, 50 years of research. And what it's telling us is that we're on the right track. It doesn't tell us what's around the corner. There could be, you know, big questions in the future, but this allows us to do is build our knowledge and move forward from here.
So 50 years down the road, we've established there might be a Higgs boson. Could it be another 50 before it's fully confirmed?
I would say that a full confirmation of saying really this is a Higgs boson is going to happen within the year of 2012. From there, within 5 years, we'll be able to make measurements and understand exactly what kind of Higgs boson there is. Different theories predict that there might be up to 5 Higgs bosons out there, and, you know, it will have, you know, different cousins that behave slightly differently than it, and it could be that we've just only found one of them right now. They will have different masses, so it means a longer search. So within the year, we'll know for sure if this really is a Higgs boson, and within 5 years, we'll know what kind of Higgs boson it is.
Wade Fisher, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Michigan State University. Wade, thanks so much for taking some time and bringing some light to this very hard-to-understand issue.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
We will be right back to talk about angry teens. Apparently, the numbers are growing. 1 in 12 have an anger disorder. Why is that, and what can parents even do about it? We'll find out next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.